up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, if you're listening today expecting me to talk about Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Hillary Clinton or what's going on in Brussels or what's going on here in the United States of America or what's going on with the bathroom bill and here in the great state of North Carolina or what's going on with, anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified, well, go ahead and change the channel because I'm not going near any of that other stuff today. Today, of course, Good Friday preceding Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And so we're going to focus on that, and I'm a little bit into a three-day fast. What are you fasting from, Steve, and why are you announcing it? You just lost all your rewards in heaven for that one. Take it easy. Here's what I'm not doing. I started last night before I went to bed. Here's what I am not doing. I'm not looking at political stories. I'm not looking at my Fox News app. I'm not looking through Facebook at different stories of whatever's going on in the world. I didn't listen to any talk radio today, not 1 minute of it. I will not do so tomorrow. I'm not gonna look at politics. I'm not going to look at FoxNews.com and all that, and on the little app on my phone. I'm not going to look at any of that stuff. And certainly on Easter Sunday, I'm not going to do that either. Just trying to do what I can to really help myself focus in on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pastor Chris Connell, my good friend here in Raleigh, North Carolina, from Raleigh First Assembly, is on his way here, allegedly. He's a great guy. I love Chris. And if you're listening, buddy, be careful. But let yourself in. You know the code to all the double locked doors here to get into this secure and undisclosed location. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm not talking about any of the politics, not even looking at it, not even considering it. And by the way, I would suggest that you try it too. It's really been a wonderful day. I'm just not the whole politics thing, the primary, the state of the nation, all that kind of stuff. Just not there on the radar screen today and really just focusing on Christ. I was in Matthew this morning, and I'm going to read to you now 16 different quotes, some of them from Scripture, some from other really well-known Christian authors and leaders over the years, to try to help you focus in as well. Pastor Chris Connell gets here, then we'll get his take as a pastor talking about Easter and what that means to him as a pastor, as an evangelist. And then I have a couple other things here. My good friend Matt Papa, sometimes you'll hear his music on the show. He did a song several years ago called It Is Finished. I'm going to play that for you today. I'm going to play a clip from a Ravi Zacharias message, just an incredible story of God reaching into a man's life when the man was done with God. And in a place that you can't imagine that God could get to him, he got to him. An incredible story that Ravi Zacharias often shares, and he's put it in some of his books. And then later on in the show, a clip from my pastor this past weekend, J.D. Greer, at the Summit Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. There Will Be Blood was the name of the message, talking about Leviticus. And what is Leviticus? Yawn, right? Yawn, the law. Leviticus, all the Levitical rules, the moral rules, the civil rules, the ceremonial rules, yawner, right? However, if you read Leviticus properly in light of what it is pointing us to, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden Leviticus becomes a very, very powerful message within the confines of the Old Testament. So I want to play that today as well. So got a lot of different things to throw at you, but let me start with these various Christian quotes. There's 16 of them here, and some of these are just simply passages of Scripture in light of Easter weekend. The cross is the lightning rod of grace that short circuits God's wrath to Christ so that only the light of his love remains for believers. That was A.W. Tozer. Of course, Ephesians 1, 7 through 10 says the following: In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. Watchman Nee, an incredible story, incredible individual, godly man. Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. I love that one. From apologist and pastor Lee Strobel, Jesus Christ did not come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live. That is a very powerful reminder from all of us. From John Broger, God has defeated Satan through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through this overwhelming victory, God has also empowered you to overcome any temptation to sin and has provided sufficient resources for you to respond biblically to any problem of life. By relying on God's power and being obedient to his word, you can be an overcomer in any situation. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is a great one from Billy Graham. God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. Here's another one, Alexander McLaren. The risen life of Jesus is the nourishment and strengthening and blessing and life of a Christian. Our daily experience ought to be that there comes, wavelet by wavelet, that silent, gentle, and yet omnipotent influx into our empty hearts, this very life of Christ himself. What a thought. Sinclair Ferguson. We are adopted into God's family through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, in which he paid all our obligations to sin, the law, and the devil, in whose family we once lived. Our old status lies in his tomb. A new status is ours through his resurrection. From Paul Chappell, because of the empty tomb, we have peace. Because of his resurrection, we can have peace during even the most troubling of times, because we know he is in control of all that happens in the world. That's especially helpful these days. Matthew 28:5-6, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Martin Luther said, our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf of springtime. Isaiah 53:12, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. A.W. Tozer. We understand and acknowledge that the resurrection has placed a glorious crown upon all of Christ's sufferings. Charles Wesley, Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. You probably recognize that one. Last but certainly not least, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Celebrating Christ, celebrating Easter, focusing on him today on Called to Action. This is Steve Noble, and we'll be right back after this. He is risen. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Called to Action Radio. Great to be with you. I'm going to jump right to a clip that I want to play. This was, I listen to Ravi Zacharias pretty much every week. And usually when I'm in the gym and trying to, slow down the the aging process. But this was a story he tells. He's been all over the world for decades now. But this is a story he tells of a friend of his who is a Christian who was imprisoned in Vietnam. And Vietnam's still a really tough place for the gospel. But this man was imprisoned because he was a Christian, and they were trying to brainwash him. And it's amazing how God, when he was ready to reject God, I mean, he made the decision, but how God came after him in the most incredible and unusual way. I'm going to play this. This is from Ravi Zacharias about his friend in Vietnam. And I'm going to bring this up and let you hopefully enjoy it, which I'm sure you will. This is Ravi Zacharias. An incredible message for Easter.
The year was 1971. I was still doing my undergraduate in theology, and I was invited to speak in Vietnam. The war was still pretty heavy. A lot of killing was going on during those days. My interpreter was a 17-year-old young man. His name was Hien. Hien and I traveled across the length of Vietnam, all the way to the demilitarized zone. God, in an extraordinary way, used these two young lives in many, many settings to break in a revival in the land of Vietnam. We were in many U.S. Armed Forces bases. We were in prisoner of war camps. We were in military hospitals. Both of us were too young to have been in places like that. But God, in his sovereign grace, used our lives. At the end of the 4 months after I'd finished preaching in that land, I embraced Hien, not thinking if I would ever see him again. That was 1971. 17 years had gone by. In 1988, I received a telephone call. And it took me only a moment when he said, "Brother Ravi," on the phone, for me to recognize that I was talking to Hien. I said, "Hien, where are you calling from?" He said, "I'm calling you from Los Angeles." I said, "What are you doing in the United States? How did you get out of Vietnam?" He said, "Have you got a few minutes to listen to my story?" I said, "Yes, I have." He said, "Brother Ravi, after Vietnam fell to the North and to the Viet Cong, I was arrested and put into prison. And I was brainwashed. Every day I was being asked to read Marx and Engels. They were trying to knock faith in God out of my life. Marx and Engels, every day. And I was not allowed to read anything in English because they were trying to cut me off from the West completely, saying the missionaries and all had poisoned my mind. They were breaking me away from all of this, French and Vietnamese, Marx and Engels, only Marxist ideology. It was just pouring in my mind. One day I was reading Engels' book describing a Marxist man caged by capitalism and the Marxist man as a bird bashing away against those wires, trying to break free, bloodying itself in the process. But keep hitting, he says, keep hitting. Someday you will break those bars. He said, I went to bed that night and I thought to myself, God, are you only a figment of my imagination? Did the missionaries really brainwash me? Were all those meetings we held in the revival, he talked about me in his prayer to God, wondering if all those messages that he had interpreted did not hold out against reality? And he said, I got so frustrated with all that I'd read, I said, I'm going to disbelieve in God from this very night. And I was determined that from the next morning, I was not going to pray, going to act as if God did not exist. He said, in the morning when I awakened, the commanding officer assigned me to clean the latrines. And as I was cleaning those latrines, he said, Ravi, it's a horrible place in those prison camps. As I was emptying out those waste bins, suddenly I noticed a piece of paper that looked like it had English on it, even though it was so stained with human excrement. I'd seen English and wondered if I could pick that up somehow. He said, I washed it and took that piece of paper, put it into my hip pocket, and went back to my room. I could not open it up till the night, till my roommates were sound asleep. And he said, there in the darkness of the night under the mosquito net, I flashed my light on that little piece of paper, and here's what it said. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, and the rest of Romans chapter 8. He said, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I said, God, here in this prison camp, on the first day in years when I was going to disbelieve in you, you have followed me with your love, with possibly the most precious verse that I needed. He said, I got so surprised at this that the next day I went to the commanding officer and said, do you mind if I clean the latrines again? And he said, I started to clean the latrines every day to find out that the commanding officer had years ago been given a Bible. He was tearing out one page at a time, using it as toilet paper every day. And he said, I was washing it, taking and completing the rest of the book of Romans and other parts of the Bible and reading it as my devotions every night. He said, finally, they released me from prison. He said, and I started to build a boat and to escape with about 52 others. One day, 4 Viet Cong came and grabbed me and said, Hien, somebody has told us you're trying to escape. Is that true? And he said, no, it's not true. They pressured him and he said, no, it's not true. He lied to them and they left him. Moments after they left him, he said, I wept alone in my room and I said, there I go again, God, trying to run my own life while you have followed me with your love for so long. He said, I prayed a prayer and hoped it would never be answered. I said, God, if you send those 4 men back to me again, I will tell them the truth. And it was only hours before, if not minutes before they were to set sail, these 4 men came, grabbed him by the collar, rammed him against a wall and said, we know you are trying to escape. Is that true? He said, I looked them in the eye and said, yes. What are you going to do? Put me back in prison? They said, no, we want to go with you. And the 4 of the Viet Cong got on the boat with him. He said, Brother Ravi, we were swept on the high seas with wild storms. We would never have made it except for these 4 men and their skippering ability who brought us safely to Thailand. And ultimately, as the United States opened its door, Hien came to the United States, finished his degree at Berkeley. Now he's working as a businessman there. He came and visited us here in Atlanta and sat at our kitchen table with my children and with the gentlest of voice reminded them of something, that the love of God is so precious that he follows you and follows you even at the darkest moments of your life.
What do you do with that, Pastor Chris Connell, Raleigh First Assembly?
I don't even know where to start. That is believable, Steve, that someone would go through that kind of revelation of God through somebody using the Bible as toilet paper, and through that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ. I don't know if I've ever heard a better application of the verse that all things work together for the good of God who call according to his purposes. If you told me there was a benefit coming from somebody using the Bible as toilet paper, I would say I just can't see it.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And that's why I played that, because here we are on Good Friday preceding Easter Sunday. And that guy who was rejecting God and he was done, and then for God to turn around and got to him through the toilet paper of the Bible, and then the four soldiers who ended up being the way that they survived the trip out on the boat because they had the skippering skills that neither him nor the other people trying to escape Vietnam had. Just unbelievable. And I played it. I just set it up before I played that clip just saying, hey, listen, if you think you're too far gone, if you think that God has given up on you, if you think that there's just too much between you and God that you can't be saved this Easter weekend, you're wrong.
Absolutely. You know, Steve, the reason why today I was late is because, one, I'm normally a late person, but that's not the real reason this time, is I had the privilege of going and visiting someone from our church. I have to let them remain nameless, that they found out yesterday that their son died in a car accident. And as I was on my way here, I began to think about the hope that comes from Easter that is right now in this moment being applied to that family's life.
Yeah, right now in that family's life. And I guarantee you, in somebody's life that's listening to us right now. This is Steve Noble with Pastor Chris Connell. It is Call to Action Radio. Good Friday preceding Easter Sunday. It's all about him today, not about anything else. We'll be right back to focus on him. Even though that's a Christian song, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Anyway, we're talking to Pastor Chris Connell, Raleigh First Assembly here in Raleigh, North Carolina. RFA, as it's known to hip people.
Yeah, RFA Church. It's hard to say Raleigh First Assembly of God. We just moved off of Blue Ridge Road. Summit Church, your church, Steve, bought our facility. I can't say enough about J.D. Greer and his team. They were phenomenal.
And that wasn't a hostile takeover, was it?
No, okay. That's a good question. It's not what we're talking about. But actually, they kind of helped send us because we felt like God was calling us to move from a location. Some of it was circumstantial. We were just out of space.
Yeah.
And couldn't buy any more land.
Yeah.
Some of it was honest leading from my lead pastor, Chad Harvey. Shout out to him that we were – and who's a student of this seminary.
Correct.
That we're standing in right here. Although now that he's a Pentecostal pastor, that may not be a good thing.
I asked him once. I said, so why did you leave the Southern Baptist world? And he said, hey, bro, I got full of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, all right, I'm just going
to stay off that one.
I'm going to leave that one alone and just move on down the road.
So anyway, we found this property, been hit by tornado in 2011, right on the Beltline, and the parking wasn't great and things weren't great, but we just felt like that's where we were supposed to go.
Yeah.
And so we literally, on faith, put an offer on the building, but we needed the money from our old building.
Right, to pay for it, right.
We owned an empty shell warehouse and could do nothing, and it was literally almost, you know, within that same exact time frame, some guys showed up, a leadership team from Summit, and said, you know, we think we'd like to buy your building. And we were like, praise you, Jesus, because
thank you, Lord.
Because we could not get somebody to buy our facility, and we thought it was a great facility to sell easily. So then we spent 6 months in a temporary location and weren't planning on it, and a guy named David Tran is on their team and others helped us through all that. I can't say enough about them.
Yep.
So if you're not going to Summit Church this Sunday for Easter, come out to RFA Church on Yonkers Road right off the Beltline.
And they're both awesome churches with great preaching and great pastors.
Well, I think if you, on certain networks here, at least in the Raleigh area, Pastor Chad and Pastor JD.
Back to back.
Yeah, I think JD goes first and the pastor or vice versa.
That's right.
And they both have that Southern accent, although I think Pastor Chad sounds a little bit more like Andy Griffith than JD does. But they're just great.
Yeah.
And you can tell they've had that wonderful Southern Baptist theological Bible depth in their teaching.
Yeah, they're solid.
Blessing.
Okay, so for you that gets paid to celebrate Easter.
Yeah, I'm a professional Christian.
So is it, there's the professional celebration, but what about a personal celebration of Easter? And after all these years of being a pastor and an evangelist and walking with the Lord, what does Easter boil down to for you these days, Chris?
You know, my wife and I got married 20 plus years ago, and every time it comes around to our anniversary, I think about that commitment. I think about the decision we made. It's a reminder. When Easter comes around every year, it's a reminder to me of the incredible sacrifice that Christ made to marry his bride, the church. And when I think of Easter personally, there are so many things. I even have a little acrostic I made up in my head, you know, and Easter, the E in Easter stood for end. This is not the end. And I don't know about you, Steve, but even as followers of Christ, as pastors, we do get caught up in, particularly in a first world way,
yeah,
with all the things happening, that you just forget about eternity sometimes. I'm not saying you don't know it's that. You just forget about the reality of that. And then Easter comes along and you remember, man, this is not the end. And like I said to you before, I was late today because of being with a family that lost a loved one unexpectedly just yesterday. And you think, and they were followers of Christ. This is not the end.
That's right.
You know, that's to me what Easter means personally. And the A in Easter for me has meant all messed up, because I feel like I'm like the last guy that should be in a pulpit or leading anywhere, yeah, you know, and I think probably all pastors feel that way, but I do. I don't have it together.
Christian talk radio show hosts feel that way too.
exactly. And I mean, you should feel that way because you are messed up, Steve. But anyway, that's my gift of encouragement coming out.
Yeah. I'm feeling it.
So anyway, the S stood for Savior. Man, every time I think of Easter, I just think, man, all right, man, I am so messed up. I need help. I need to be saved. I don't just need a hand up. Like I can't get out of the mess I'm in. And some people think, I think falsely, Steve, that for them to need a savior, they've got to be the worst person. They got to be Hitler, you know, times
right,
five
sure.
or something. And I'm like, you don't understand it. We've all fallen short. And so Easter to me is that, and I still can't believe in our culture, as secular as America has become, as post and even anti-Christian, that people still get up and go to church in America on Easter.
Isn't that interesting? That the churches will be swollen on Sunday with Christers, people that
yes.
go Christmas and Easter. And they go, well, why? Why do they go? Well, I always go back.
It's tradition.
It's tradition. In the spiritual realm, I go back to Ecclesiastes, where God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. There's something in there that they know.
That's speaking to them.
They should be there.
Yeah.
I should be there. There's something about this Jesus. There's something about this Easter.
Yes.
That I should be connecting with.
You know, we all want to have a great relationship with our mom and dad. And if we don't, it's either because one's really messed up or they're both messed up. You know, my mom grew up with a really messed up dad and really couldn't have a relationship with him. And I only met him once when I was 19 years old. And it was alcohol and all kinds of things. And he was affected by World War II and all those things. But my mom never wanted to never stop wanting to have a great relationship with their dad. Never. And when he died, I remember her saying to me, you know, that hope that would happen and died. I think at Easter, there was within us our heart to know our Abba Father, to know our spiritual dad, to have that relationship. And that's why when I go back to Easter, I think, man, you know, it's not only the E in Easter end. This is not the end. A, we're all messed up. S, Savior. T, it stands for trust. Who do you trust? You got to trust in Christ. E stood for eternal life. But our relationship, I think sometimes we think that following Christ is like joining Costco or Sam's Club.
Right. You get the club, you get some benefits, and then...
But it's not a lifestyle. Nobody says, do you live the Costco lifestyle?
Right.
You know, nobody sees somebody who goes to Costco and says, Costco a hypocrite, you know.
Right, right. Although, if you've ever watched the TV show about hoarders...
Okay, then they maybe do...
They maybe do live the Costco lifestyle.
The Costco lifestyle. So the thing is, I look at that and I think, Steve, I think within humanity there's an honest desire to say, where will I go when I die? What is the meaning of my life? Is there a God? If there is a God, how do I know him? Easter answers all those questions.
Yeah, yeah, it really does.
It really wraps it up in not necessarily a neat box. In fact, Easter's really messed it. I love that the title of J.D.'s message this Sunday, I think I heard, is like, Blood Will Be Spilled or something like that.
There Will Be Blood, which is playing off blood. The yes. movie about that was all about the oil business.
I love that.
There Will Be Blood. And yeah. and there was. And if we have time for it, into Leviticus, when people go, oh, Levitical law, can I just go get all my teeth pulled instead?
Yeah.
Instead of studying Leviticus. But in Leviticus, when you're looking at ceremonial law or civil law or moral law, all of that pointing to Christ. And now when you go look at the crucifixion and you see, you talk about the Holy of Holies and who can go where and who can do what. And then all of a sudden it all takes place in Jesus as he's fulfilling everything as the perfect spotless Lamb of God. I remember the first time Gina and I were both saved within a month or two of each other back in 1994, married in 92, saved in 94. The first Christmas was a couple months later and the first Easter shortly after that. And it was once I actually understood the gospel, once I actually understood what was going on that cross on that hill all those years ago, walking into Easter as a brand new baby Christian, it was like I had never experienced it before. All of a sudden, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus made crystal clear sense to me, and I had a full grasp of my own sin and why he had to do it. And then that, of course, the rest of your life flows out of a response to not the law, to not your worthwhileness, but to the love of Christ that was poured out on that cross.
To get Easter, you have to understand, I have to understand, and I think this is what you'd be talking about when you had that experience, Steve. I think you have to understand, Christ didn't die for everyone. He died for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That I remember as a young man, about 11 years old, when I really started to understand what Christ had done for me. And then as a teenager, really recommitting my life to Christ and thinking, Lord, I care about everybody else, but it really reality is that when it comes to Easter, I'm like, you died for me. And you know what? People can put on a face. They can front anything. And we can even do that with ourselves. But even though we might even fake ourselves out, we know in our heart of hearts how really messed up we are. That's why relationships are so hard. That's why marriages break up, because we're a bunch of messed up people and we're innately selfish. And so you know how screwed up you are. You know your own thoughts. You know your own motivations. And you go, why would Jesus do that for me? You know, I can't help following Jesus, Steve. I can't, because I think, man, who would do that? Who would pay that price for me? I'm a sinner. And, you know, God's not winking at sin, Steve.
No.
No. You know, there will be blood. The reason why JD's preaching about that and Pastor Chad's preaching about the love changed everything. You know, the reason why is because God takes sin seriously. He has a standard, and he's not going to wink at and just let us kind of get by like, you know, some kid at a ride at a carnival. Well, you're not too tall, we'll let you through. It doesn't work that way. And I'm telling you, if you don't get Easter, then you don't get your eternity. And your eternity is in danger.
Yeah, and you've either never really come to know him in a saving way, or you've slid so far away from that relationship that you, like Jesus said in Revelation, you lost your first love.
Yeah.
In either situation, they're both dire. One, of course, more dire than the other. In either situation, you're in trouble. We'll talk some more about that when we come back.
Nice intro music,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, I don't really know where you're going with that. Are you chastising me?
No,
it's Good
I love
Friday,
it.
And we're mixing Rush with Good Friday?
I absolutely love it, man. I do. I'm sincere in that. I think you have the best intro music.
Well, I'm trying to get people's attention and be a little something different so that they'll listen.
Yes.
I'll use just about any means possible, as long as I'm not, obviously sinning.
Yeah.
to get people's attention, to draw them into a conversation. Because we were just talking about this. This is our last segment. So I'm going to go to this. This is... Pastor J.D. Greer here in Raleigh, just an awesome preacher. By the way, so is Chad Harvey at RFA Church.
Yep.
Both incredible preachers, two of the best I've ever heard. And they're both under 80, which is really encouraging. and so this is from a message he gave last Sunday from, it was called There Will Be Blood. We were in the book of Leviticus. Check this out.
The day was all about Jesus. And well, we've been kind of hinting at that the whole time, but the day was all about Jesus. Did you see the fingerprints of Jesus all through this sacrifice? We're going into what we call Passion Week. When you read through the last week of Jesus' life, that we call the Passion Week, and you do it after reading Leviticus, you will notice that Jesus seems to be going out of his way to stage his own Day of Atonement. Now listen to this. Just like the high priest, Jesus began to prepare for a week beforehand. That's why we call it the Passion Week. The night before Jesus' sacrifice, he stayed up all night, just like the high priest. Except Jesus is not going to be clothed in rich garments like the Jewish high priest was. He's going to be stripped of the only garment he has. And instead of being cheered on by the people like the high priest was, he's going to be jeered by them and abandoned by nearly everyone he loves. He wasn't bathed in a purifying pool. He was bathed in human spit. When he came before God, he didn't receive words of encouragement. The Father turned his face away, silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will. He took my crown of thorns. He was struck dead in the presence of God, even though there was no defilement on him at all, because he was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, and the price that obtained peace with God was put upon him. On the cross, when he died, he cried out as his last words, "It is finished." In Greek, literally, tetelestai. Tetelestai was a common phrase that just meant it's been paid. Archaeologists have found it inscribed on receipts. After somebody paid a debt, they would write across the top, tetelestai. In Christ, God has no more claim against our sin. We have been justified. It would be unjust for God to bring it back up because it's already been paid for. The curtain that separated us from God was a symbol of Jesus' perfect flesh that was torn so that we could enter into God's presence. During the crucifixion, the curtain was literally torn in two. And for the first time in history, the way to God was wide open, and whosoever will may come. Jesus' body was the mercy seat where his blood was sprinkled so that we could find forgiveness of sins and enter into God's presence without fear. By the way, did you ever notice this? When the disciples first go to Jesus' tomb after he's been resurrected, there's a little detail in there. It says that there were angels there. How many angels? Two. And where were they? One at the head, one at the foot. What is he trying to recreate? The mercy seat. They're not there because they're tired. They're there saying, this is the new Ark of the Covenant. And if you come to this spot right here with a resurrected Jesus, not physically, but if you come there and say, I believe it was done for me, then you will be given forgiveness of sins. In fact, Leviticus 16 says that when Aaron was done with this ritual, he would take off this linen and lay it aside. What was it that Peter and John found in the empty tomb? There was only one thing. It was that linen. Jesus didn't take it off because he was hot. He took it off. Why did he take it off? He took it off because he was trying to say, it's done. It's this whole Day of Atonement. I just finished it. And just like Aaron laid it aside, I'm laying it aside, and it's never going to have to happen again. Jesus was the scapegoat who carried away our sins forever into his grave. Jesus went down into the depths of the grave, burying our sin. 3 days later, he came out, and he left our sins there at the bottom of the sea as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are not merely covered over. They are gone forever. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah, who wrote 500 years before Jesus was born, the book of Zechariah is built around a vision that Zechariah has, where he sees a high priest, whom he calls Yeshua, go into the presence of God. But to Zechariah's horror, it's on the Day of Atonement, Zechariah, who's very familiar with the whole process, sees that this high priest about to go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies is not dressed in fine linen, he's covered in human excrement. This was disaster, not only for Yeshua, who certainly would die. It was disaster for all the people of Israel because this moment was the moment that they obtained forgiveness. But just as Zechariah despairs, he hears the voice of the Lord. Zechariah 3, verse 1. He hears the voice of the Lord say to Joshua, Yeshua, the high priest, Yeshua, take off your filthy clothes. See, I've taken away your sin and put rich garments on you. I will send my servant and remove the sin of this land in a single day. You know what God had given to Zechariah? He'd given Zechariah a vision of what Jesus was going to do one day. You see, Yeshua is just the Hebrew name for Jesus. It literally says Jesus. That one day Jesus is going to come and he is going to don our garments, garments that are covered in the filthy human excrement of sin. And he's going to walk into the presence of the Holy of Holies and he's going to be struck dead. And then he's going to take it off and he's going to hand you and me a clean white linen garment of righteousness and say, you wear this for the rest of eternity. That's why we say the gospel in four words is Jesus in my place. Jesus did not merely die for you as a statement of love for you. Jesus died instead of you. He took your sin. He bore your shame. He rose to life. He defeated your grave, a love like that the world has never known. People misread the book of Leviticus. They read the book of Leviticus and they say, oh my God, look at how many laws there are. Leviticus was not written to tell you all that you need to do. Leviticus was written to show you all that God was going to do for you. The effect of reading Leviticus on you should not make you look up in despair and say, oh my God, look at all the things I got to do for you. It's, oh my God, look at what you've done for me. Yo, that's the goal. That's the goal of all Bible teaching. The goal of all Bible teaching is not that I fill up your notebook with new facts God wants you to know or new things that you need to do and 5 ways to be a better dad and 4 ways that Uncle JD is going to give you how to handle your job. The Bible's not good advice. The Bible is good news. And you leave with the sense of, oh my God, look at who you are. Look at what you've done. Look at the love that you've given to me. And then in response to that, everything changes in your life. You see, gospel change happens not by giving a list of things to do. Gospel change happens when you are overwhelmed with the beauty of what God has done. And that's what the book of Leviticus is about from verse 1 to the end of the book.
Well, so well spoken.
Oh, my goodness. I was sitting there last. He was totally on fire. I was sitting there last Sunday, and I'm like, okay, this is point number 3, and he's about this far in, and I'm absolutely going to play this on the show at some time this week because there comes a time. And listen, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the teaching. I don't have all of anything. And there comes a time to step aside and let somebody that the Lord is using speak. And that's the message that right out of Leviticus, which we just blow off or blow through or don't even pay attention to. And Christ is all over that book. So, Chris, as we finish up our time here on Good Friday, Chris Connell, pastor from Raleigh First Assembly, and Chad Harvey's the senior pastor, speak to the people that know him. Speak to the people like you and I, just an Easter encouragement. And then let's finish up by speaking to the people listening to us right now who don't know them, who might say, well, I believe in God, but I hope I go to heaven, but I don't really know, and I'm not really clear about the whole Jesus thing. Speak to both of those people as we have a few minutes left.
For those who know Christ, let Easter be a remembrance and a reminder of what Christ has done for you, and it'll be a moment of recommitment to being a follower of Christ, which is the hardest thing that you can do on the planet. For those who don't know Christ, I would encourage you to really sit and think about what Easter means and to understand it and not scoff at it and not dismiss it, but to understand there was a real human being named Jesus of Nazareth that walked the earth, that was crucified on a cross by the Roman government 2,000 plus years ago. And why was that done? And how does it apply to you? And my promise to you is this: if you'll investigate Christ, if you just give him a chance, you'll be blown away by what he'll do in your life and through your life. And you say, but how? How? Well, the reason is because Christ paid the price for all the stupid, silly, dumb, sinful, intentional, and unintentional things we do, that we can have a new life in Christ, and we don't have to live out as slaves to our own desires. Not only that, those questions of what happens when I die, where will I go, what is the purpose of my life, does anybody really love me, where does my personal value? All those questions can be answered in and through Christ at Easter. And if you don't know Jesus, you're not at church, which you don't have to be at church to know Jesus, and you've got Easter weekend available, get up Sunday morning, or maybe some churches have services Saturday nights, and go find a church that preaches the gospel and listen to what they're saying and contemplate the message of the cross. Don't just dismiss it as hearsay. Investigate it for yourself. I believe that you'll be surprised how you'll be affected by the love of Christ and the sacrifice he's made for you. And that's the reason why we encourage those who do know Christ, invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, those that you work around, those you know in your neighborhood, invite them to church with you Sunday. Invite them to church with you Saturday. Invite them to be a part of the fellowship. Let them belong before they believe, because Easter is a wonderful reminder what Christ has done. But listen, if you're a follower of Christ, you don't need Easter to remind you of that. We need to have the pews, the seats, the chairs filled this Easter weekend with people who don't go to church.
Yeah, that's right. And it reminds Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and he's waiting there for you. Even a dead man wasn't too far gone for Jesus Christ. So if you have those questions, and I know that many of you do, here's an easy thing to do where you don't even have to wait till Sunday. Just go to my website. I know it sounds cheesy, but trust me. Go to the website, c2atoday.com, c2atoday.com. At the top of the page, you're going to see a little word that's circled in red. The word is heaven, and the answers from God's word are there for you. Please go there, and then we can connect, because I would love to talk to you. More importantly than anything else, about God and your relationship with him. Happy Easter, everybody. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.